Boss Man Joe here with Alcorn State Braves head coach Montez Robinson out of SWAC Conference. Coach Robinson, what's good down there in Mississippi, man?
Oh, man, nothing much but the rain right now. It's kind of like the ACL. It's raining. It's real nasty out, but things are good. Things are good down here.
Well, Coach, you're in year five leading the Braves. So what has been your greatest accomplishment since you've been in Alcorn State the last five years here, man?
My greatest accomplishment would probably be having a 100% graduation ratio. You know, when I took the job here, academics was down a little bit. The APR score, we was on postseason band. So the greatest accomplishment is we had 100% graduation ratio, and we've been able to get off of the APR restrictions that we were up under.
You got there right. I know that's a big accomplishment, especially for us having young black men on your roster. And I know that means a lot to you, coaching our young black men. Make sure those young men have an education, have a degree behind their name. But everybody does not go professional, so you got to have something behind you to go forth with once you hang up the shoes from being on the court there.
Most definitely, I love that NCAA commercial. You got guys going throwing something. You know that commercial just it hit the spot. For everybody, you know, you're gonna go pro in life and stuff, and so you got to make sure you got that degree and you're well prepared. And I really think that the people down here at Alcorn, and they do a great job preparing the young folks for life.
Exactly. Then, Coach, also for you, Coach, being a head coach of HBCU school, I went to Tennessee State University. So I lived the experience of being at HBCU school. So I lived it. So for you, coaching young black men and having being like their father figure away from home, how does having that burden upon you make you want to be better every day for those young men, grow yourself every day, try to find ways to develop these men, become husbands, fathers, great men of our society going forward?
Well, that's one of the lifelong dreams and goals that you have. That's what, you know, you put on this work to do is to give forward and push forward and give each one teach one. And that's what the Lord wanted us to do. You know, he wanted us to raise people to go out and, like you said, to be great fathers, great husbands, and they go out and hopefully they do the same thing for somebody else. So that's the reward. I look at this game right here and what I'm able to do as a head coach. On the Division I level, just in college period, it's just I'm able to bless young men and hopefully give them something so they can go on and give somebody else something. And cool. You know, I look at this as a ministry.
You got that right, Coach. And like you said, back you've been a ministry, like you said, Coach, because I feel like this, Coach, if you give a young man an opportunity to get education, they can go very far in life if they want to. And having an opportunity to come to a D1, play D1 basketball, go to University of Alcorn State, get the HBCU experience, it's only going to help these young men as they become black men in this world. Like you said, pass it forward to other young black men, come up as well, so they'll get the same principles and knowledge that you gave them, they can keep passing on, so we'll be a great society going forward of us young African-Americans, so we can get out of this country and help our people grow and prosper for years to come.
Most definitely. I want to bless all. You know, my people, just whoever I come encounter with, if I can be a blessing to help somebody, I want to do that. I truly believe at some point in this world, it's not going to be color. You know, it's not going to be the black, the white, Asian. We all going to be one. Which that's the way the Lord wanted us to be, is one people.
You got that right. Now, Coach, let's talk about the player development piece for your program. I know at the D1 level, the SWAC level, player development is real key in recruiting. You have to kind of project guys out in year two, three, four, or five, they redshirt for freshman year. So how do you go about developing young men on the court and off the court via your strength coach and developing them as young and their mental for watching the film as well and eating right, getting the right sleep, because I feel like they get the right sleep, to eat right, and get in the weight room the right way, they'll be able to play hard for you for those 5 months from November through March there.
Most definitely. The key is, you know, you gotta evaluate. You got to properly evaluate kids coming in. You got to know what young man fits your system. And you got to be honest with yourself, can you help that guy reach his potential? You know, and one of the things I definitely try to do is be honest with myself. Some guys, they could be projected or potentially could be a really good basketball player, but they just they're not a fit for all four, and they're not a fit for us and our system, because, you know, we may not have the things that can help us. You know, you got to be aware, and you can't lie to yourself. You can't help everybody. So one of the things I always tell myself and my coaches, we go out and we try to evaluate guys that fit our program, fit our system, fit the things that we can do and what we can do as far as projecting them out, where we can help them at. And, you know, we've done a great job to this point. I really think that we've done a great job of going out and finding those diamonds in the rough, as well as guys that are well-known. You know, and, you know, like you guys are in Atlanta, we've done a great job of recruiting the Southeast area really well. And since I've been here, we've had 3 to 4 kids from Atlanta on our team, guys from Alabama, Mississippi, Florida, North Carolina. We've really covered those areas. So, you know, because of, you know, it's easy to go into a situation where you're going into a GM. Everybody can point out the best player on the court. We got to dig a little bit deeper when you're on the low major level. You got to really look for those kids that, hey, now can I get him to do this other thing pretty good? Or is this where he's projecting he's going to be? So I always tell people it's a lot harder to recruit on the lower level because you're not finding the best player in the GM night in and night out. You know, that kid probably won't come to you. He's getting recruited a little bit higher.
You got that right, Coach.
You got to get out there and work to beat the bushes.
You got that right, Coach. You have 3 young men from Atlanta area on your roster. Corey Tillery from Atlanta. Junior guard forward Kobe Wilson from Kennesaw. And also Devon Barber from Hiram, a senior there. So talk about these young men, Coach, and what they mean to your roster right now and what they mean to your program since they've been inside your program.
Well, First, as far as Kobe Wilson and Devon Brewer, those are guys that they've been here since they were freshmen. They came in. I always like to recruit a mixture of junior college freshmen and grad transfers. But they've definitely been a foundation of this program. They were here from the year when we went to the championship game and lost to Texas Southern by 3. They tasted the good, they tasted the bad. And, you know, and this year, in their junior senior year, they have an opportunity to reach that plateau again. And so that they've been there. So they're providing a lot of experience. So, and Corey Tillery, we were blessed to get him. He actually played for my assistant coach, Evan Davis, at Armstrong Atlantic. And Armstrong Atlantic, the program down in Savannah, they merged with Georgia Southern. So all of those players had to go on and go to different places. And he transferred from there to Texas Tech. So he played there, had 2 good years at Tennessee Tech, and he graduated and had another year of eligibility, so we were blessed to get him. And he had Hawaii, he had some other schools, but our end with that was Coach Davis, you know, who had recruited me. He was the head coach there, and we've been blessed to get him, and he's done a wonderful job for us this year. And, you know, I always think, you know, if I can get a grad transfer, I have an older veteran guy that's been somewhere else that can come in and bring that experience from another place that brings ours, and we merge them all together and make something great out of it. I think that's good. I think just having an older guy from somewhere else is always good, and that's been able to give us that extra boost in conference, because in our league, in the SWAC league, it's normally a transfer, grad transfer league. It's not really a high school, coming out of high school league, but we've been blessed to do it and bring in some high school and bring in a mixture of everybody. So those guys, man, they're very important. They've been a blessing. They've helped us set the foundation in recruiting to this point because, you know, we just signed a kid at Campbell High School, Mike Lowe, who's first team all region, potentially going to be first team all state in Georgia. And he's doing really well. So we're excited about getting him. And we have some other guys that we recruit. They haven't signed yet, so I can't mention their names. In the state of Georgia. So we've done well in the state of Georgia.
I see it's a report. And like I said, it's really an I-20 trip over here anyway for you guys. So it's very within range for guys who want to get away from home. But not be too far away. It's just go to Alabama onto I-20 and come down into where you guys are at. So I feel like it's a good spot for you guys. And a lot of young men here in Georgia and Atlanta area specifically who can play ball really well. Because high school ball here, as you know, Coach, is very good. It's very structured. The AAU program is very structured. And so guys get better here in Georgia and can contribute as freshmen or sophomores going to junior college, contribute to his junior college guy as well.
Most definitely. You know, Georgia is one of the, you know, a lot of folks think it's a football state, but it's a really good basketball state. And like you said, they have great high school programs there. Where, you know, the coaches are really putting forth the effort in the morning, early morning practice. They bring guys when they can't work with the guys, they're bringing in other guys that can work with their players. The AAU programs are really, really good. It's a really well-coached basketball state. So, you know, when you're getting a kid from out of that area, you know you're going to get a kid that is at least up to the standards of where you need them coming in or a junior college kid. And, you know, you're not going to be teaching the basics all over again. The stuff they should have learned in high school, you don't have to go back and repeat those things. So it's definitely a really good state from that standpoint of recruiting.
And, Coach, I know you guys are glad to be 6-6-6-3 in conference play right now, but I know non-conference. I want to tell my listeners this. Don't look at Alcorn State's non-conference record, because there's a lot of things going into that. They have to be on the road a lot. Coach, you can test this as well. You're on the road a lot. Can't get home games. Have to play guaranteed games as well to raise money for the university as well. So all those factors involved, you only going to have 4 wins, maybe. You want to have more, of course, but it prepares you guys for the SWAC conference. I want listeners to understand that you can't judge your record by the non-con. Judge you by the SWAC record, because non-con is a whole other animal that you got to deal with, as I kind of detailed here, that a lot of schools don't deal with that is high major or upper mid-major schools.
Most definitely. People have to understand that guarantee is what it means. When you're going to play a team that's paying you a guarantee, they're saying, we're guaranteed that you're going to lose this game. We're paying you this to take this L, and if you still happen to win it, you may not get them to pay you again. And at most HBCUs and low major conferences, you're going in to those games because you have to raise money for your university. We here at Auburn have been able to raise about $550,000 to $600,000 every year. And that money goes into the general fund, and not a penny of that goes back into the basketball program. It goes to the general funds for the whole athletic department, as far as, you know, you got to cover some of these other sports, revenue sports, so you can be Division I, you know. But, you know, it's tough going into it. You know, going into it, you're going in to play all these teams, these high-major teams. They got 4 or 5 stars, and they're paying you to come play. And the referees know that they're paying you to come play, and everybody. So the game is going to be a little lopsided. But, you know, we've been blessed to be able to go into some of those games and really compete and give them a scare and have opportunities to win some games. And other teams in our conference have went in and won some games in some of those guarantees. So the SWAC is good basketball. It's really good basketball. But, you know, because, like you said, we got to go out and raise a lot of that money to fund the rest of the athletic programs in order to be Division I. We run into some tough hits early on. So our schedule and our wins is not like other conferences, but when we get out and we play 50-50 games, teams that are even tough, we come out on top 9 times out of 10.
And you've done that real well. 6-6-3 right now in SWAC play. You got a good race there between you guys. TSU's on top right now, but you guys got a big game against Jackson State coming up here, the in-state rivalry there. So what you guys are seeing on film with Jackson State, and also how you love the fact that your guys recovered from that non-con, got you guys 6-3 right now in SWAC play.
Well, the recovery from that is basically, you know, guys have been here like 4 years, like you talked about, the Kobe Wilsons, the Von Brewers, the Maurice Howard, those 4-year guys have been here. They understand, you know, what we're playing for. So they do a great job. That senior leadership, they've done a great job of preparing other guys who's not quite used to it. Hey, guys, we're going to come in here. We're going to compete to win a game. But if we don't win, it's all about competing and being competitive, because it's going to prepare us for SWAC play. To answer your other question, is with Jackson State, you know, it's going to be a tough game. That's our in-state rival. They came into our place and they beat our butts, and we got some payback to give to them. But we got to make sure we're taking away Rollins and, you know, defending that mid-post there. He's a pretty good face-up mid-post guy, not necessarily a post player, but he gave us 27 at our place. But he forced us to have to do some different stuff defensively and double him, where they were able to kick it out and left a couple open shooters wide open. So we got to do a better job of initially just taking him out of his game and not allowing those guys that can shoot the ball to spot up and make a couple shots. But the guys have been focused. You know, we've had this since we lost that game. It's been one of the things that's been checked on our calendar, knowing that, it's a survival game. It's a payback game. And we're going in that thing to compete and make sure we continue to put ourselves in the runners to win a regular season championship.
Last one I got for you, Coach, is this. Who has been some coaching individuals who really has helped you in your coaching career or grow as a person and as a coach in this business?
Most of it, it's been several. One of the guys that really got me into wanting to be a coach would be my high school coach, Billy Davis. He actually coached at Meadow Creek for about 15 years. He coached me in Alabama, but he moved over and coached at Meadow Creek. He had some really good talent over at Meadow Creek High School in Gwinnett. And I would say, pretty much all the guys that I've worked for is Alan Sharp, who I worked for at Troy McConnell up in Cleveland, Georgia. Tony Ingram, who I worked for at Kennesaw, who won the Division II National Championship at Kennesaw. We had some great years at Kennesaw State when we were there. I would say one of my best friends, Gavelle Craig, who I worked for down at Bethune-Cookman. It's some other guys in here that I looked up to as mentors, Nolan Richardson, Mike Anderson, Coach Leonard Hamilton. There's a lot of those guys that were legends in the game who were black figures for a young black man like myself who I could look up to and want to strive to be like those guys one day. All of those guys, they definitely laid the foundation within me. And, but one of the guys that really just played a big part in my coaching style and developing my craft would be Tony Ingram. He did a great job, and that's the head coach at Kennesaw State. He always used to tell all of us when we were assistants, you're going to learn a lot from him. You're going to learn what to do and what not to do. It's up to you on how you shape it when you get your own program. And, I really tuck that in. And you got to find your way. You can't be like anybody else. You got to be your own coach because you only can be the best you. So he really instilled that in all of the systems when we were there. And I used that from this point on. I got to find myself, find my craft, and become the best me I can be.
I hear that, Coach Robinson. Coach, thank you for your time this evening. Hope to do it again real soon. Best love to you against Jackson State this weekend. Hope to talk to you again in March, man, when you win the SWAT tournament in Birmingham there, man.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thanks for putting that out there out there for that blessing. I really appreciate it. That's what we're shooting for. Thanks for having me on your show.
Anytime, Coach. Before I do it again with you real soon, man.
Thank you. Anytime you want me, I'll be there.
All right. Thanks, Coach, so much.
Alrighty.
That's Montez Robson on the Boss Man Show.
It's maybe the night that my dreams might let me know. All the stars are closer. All the stars are closer.
Tell me what you gonna do to me. Confrontation ain't nothing new to me. You could bring a bullet, bring a sword, bring a morgue, but you can't bring the truth to me.
Alexa, play Kendrick Lamar and SZA.
Okay.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Folks, back on the Boss Man Show. We're here with Mike Brennan, the American Eagles head coach out of D.C., Patriot League. Coach Brennan, how are things with you guys up there today? Up there today in D.C., man?
We just had a really good win at Navy last night. So the league is real competitive. Seems like everybody's tied for second right now almost. But, doing well. And having a good year, having a good league season so far.
Coach, you're in the middle of year seven leading the Eagles, Coach. What do you say has been your greatest accomplishment in your 7 years so far here in American so far?
We had a chance to go to the NCAA tournament 1 year, which was great, winning the Patriot League championship. But just dealing with all the young men that I get to deal with on a daily basis. I mean, we get great kids, great students, great players. But most importantly, great kids and great family. So it's fun to go to work every day and coach with these kind of kids up there.
And, Coach, being a place going into your seventh year, you're going to have an alignment from your president, your AD, and along with you and your staff. So how important is that alignment that you have in American to support your program, help you help these young men, help the program on and off the court as well?
Yeah, well, I mean, it takes a while to get everything in order, you know, so you need all that type of support. So our athletic director, Dr. Billy Walker, has been here since I've been here. And, you know, he's just nothing but supportive. We get tremendous support from, you know, President Sylvia Burwell. So when it's, you know, when you're getting the support from the president and the AD, you know, it definitely has a trickle-down effect. But, yeah, it's a great school. It's a great place. I mean, we have great resources. And, you know, the kids take advantage of it, and they do well on and off the court.
And, Coach, talk about player development, Coach. I know it's really big in the mid-major basketball. It's really developing young men. You have to kind of project guys out when you recruit them as well. So talk about how you guys go about developing young men on off the court in the spring, summer, and fall, right before things is going in November.
Yeah, well, I mean, having a great staff is key. You know, we got a couple guys. I mean, Scott Creeman, Matt Wolf, Eddie Jackson, and Sam Roditti are on staff. Matt and Scotty both played college basketball at the mid-major level. So, you know, you recruit kids not for, you know, necessarily what they are. There is an element of, you know, you see things that you do like and you like what they are, but it's more so what you think they can become. So hopefully they're with you for 4 years and, you know, you want them to develop in the players and, you know, become something different than they are as freshmen. So, you know, that's why in our league, you know, it's usually the teams that have seniors that are starting and playing major minutes that do the best and usually dominate the league. That's been true, you know, since I've been here, so, you know, all my 7 years.
And what's also a key factor, Coach, is that strength conditioning, Coach, getting the guys to eat well, sleep well, and also get them stronger and prevent them from getting hurt, because all those go into preventing injuries as well, that strength conditioning, Coach.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, our guys, you know, make great strides. I mean, not only in the spring and the summer and the fall, but throughout the year. You know, it's important, like you said, to remain healthy and to continue to, you know, whatever strength gains they made or whatever weight gains they made to keep those on, which is not easy when you're practicing every day and you're playing twice a week in league games. It takes a lot out of you. And Sean Foster, our strength and conditioning coach, you know, he's been here with us for 7 years. So we've had, you know, a group that has been together the entire time we've been here. So that's had a tremendous impact on the growth of the program.
And, Coach, also, what you bring right here in D.C., recruiting in the DMV area, all the talent right in your backyard, you know, to bring in young men who wants the opportunity to go to a great university, great education, play for a coach like yourself, it has to be very appealing to you as a coach and knowing the fertile ground for recruiting that you guys is pretty much set in every day.
Yeah, no, it's a terrific basketball up here, terrific leagues. But to be honest, I mean, the biggest attraction, I mean, we can go all over the place and attract people to D.C., you know. So, I mean, we got guys on our roster from Florida, from, you know, California, from Michigan, from, you know, a lot of times from different countries all over the world. So D.C. is just such a great spot. I mean, the campus is beautiful. It's a great school. So, you know, it's easy to attract people from all over the world, to be honest.
And, Coach, I know you didn't get many wins you won in non-conference play, but for my listeners who should know this, you guys can play a lot on the road. You don't get many home games. You have to play those guarantee games, raise money for the university. So those factors involved, getting 4 wins may not be as many as you want to have, but you have to play because it's part of the kind of the deal you have to deal with when you're lower mid-major schoolers like you guys are. So recovering from that, now getting 7 wins in conference, has to make you feel good about the resolve of your team, knowing what it was a tough non-con, but now you're in Patriot League play. You guys have got your act together now. You're 7-4 right now.
Yeah. I mean, our guys understand that. You know, the we call it the preseason. You know, the first 11 games are essentially just preparation for league play. I mean, in, you know, mid-major, you know, in our type of conference, it's all about winning your conference, and that's what you're preparing for. So that our guys understand it. And, you know, you got to go out and play, you know, play those big games and bring in the money and do all that kind of stuff. And it's great experiences for our guys. But, I mean, I give them credit for, you know, they always stick together and they understand what, you know, what our focus is, and that's league play. And it starts, you know, we've had our senior point guard leader, Saeed Nelson, and he understands that, and he's done just an unbelievable job of leading this group this year.
And what was the key to victory over Navy last night there, Coach? You played Navy, you got to win over those guys. So what was the key to that victory?
Just sharing the ball, you know. I mean, Navy's tough. I mean, they play this zone that's, you know, and they're good at it, and they get you out of your comfort zone. And, you know, just playing a weekday game where, you know, guys are in class and going, you know, taking tests and, you know, doing schoolwork and that type of stuff all day long. And then you have to, you know, hop on a bus and go over there to play a tough, tough Navy team who's also having an excellent year. Midweek is not easy, you know. So, again, our guys have been, you know, terrific all year and just staying focused, playing hard, understanding, you know, what we're there for, executing on both ends of the court. So, you know, every game in our league comes down to just a handful of possessions. They're hard-fought games. They're well-played games. And our guys understand that you just got to bring a consistent effort every night.
You got Navy coming up here as well. So what's something on film for those guys so far? They're up in the stands, up there pretty well as well. Or by Army, rather. What's something on film from Army as you get ready for those guys this weekend?
Yeah, well, they're a tough team. And, you know, like I mentioned before, it's a league where seniors dominate. And they have their starting point guard and their starting center, you know, two of the better players in the league. I mean, Tommy Funk, I think, was named the National Player of the Week just this past week. He's having a terrific year. And they execute. They play, you know, they play really well together. They move the ball. They get up and down the court. You know, they share the ball well. They shoot it well. So they've won about, you know, six in a row here. So it's going to be a tough test for us on Saturday.
Well, Coach, you have a young man on your roster from Atlanta, Christian Sutton, sophomore guard. He hasn't played as much lately here. But talk to us about this young man and what he's meaning your program going forward.
Yeah, I mean, everybody on our team, you know, it's one of those years where, I mean, everybody's just, you know, in tune, on the same page, contributing on a daily basis. It's a fun group to work with. Pretty much any one of these guys, I feel comfortable enough to put them in the game and, you know, confident in what they'll do. Christian's only a sophomore, but he's one of my favorite kids on the team. And he comes in, he works hard every single day. You know, he understands what we're trying to do offensively and defensively. So if I had to put him in, I would feel confident in what he would be able to do. But he's been terrific all year long for us.
That's what I got for you, Coach. What were some coaches, individuals who really helped you in your career as a coach and guys you kind of lean on when things get tough for you guys that you kind of can have counsel with?
I mean, I've been lucky. You know, I've always been surrounded by, you know, great people in my life. You know, I played for a Hall of Fame coach at Princeton and Pete Carril, so he's probably had the, you know, biggest influence on me, you know, from a straight basketball standpoint. I was prepared for Coach Carril, by playing at a, you know, for a great high school coach, Ben Candelino at Elizabeth High School in New Jersey. So having, you know, sort of played for guys like that and, you know, practicing and understanding what goes into winning, you know, has been instrumental. Then I was lucky enough to work for, you know, for John Thompson, for Joe Scott, for Jeff Jones, you know, just great, terrific coaches that I was able to grow and learn from on a daily basis.
Coach Brennan, thank you for your time today. Hope to talk to you again real soon. Best of luck to you against Army this weekend, Coach.
All right, great. I appreciate you having me.
Anytime. We're looking for getting with you real soon, Coach.
All right. Thanks a lot, Jeff.
All right, that's Mike Brennan on the Boss Man Show.
My heart skips skipping the beat. You're not close enough, so that space between you and me, let's lose it. The way you're dancing, swaying to the music. Girl, that body and how you move it. Every time you cross my mind, girl, I lose it.
Alexa, play the Country Heat playlist.
Okay.
I don't think you know what you're doing to me. You got
with Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
All right, folks, back in the Boss Man Show. Anthony Latino, the coach of the Sacred Heart Pioneers out of the Northeast Conference. Coach, how are things going with you guys? I'm in Connecticut, man.
Going great. A little, you know, weather's a little colder up here than it is down there in Atlanta, but we're used to that. And, you know, we lost a tough one last night at the buzzer, but that's how college basketball works. We got to regroup and play a very good team on Saturday.
Yes, indeed. Now, Coach, let me ask you, you've been at Sacred Heart as the head coach for in the middle of year seven. So tell us, Coach, what's been your greatest accomplishment since being at Sacred Heart as the head coach in 2013?
Well, I think, you know, obviously, the bedroom point that is wins and losses and finishes in the league, and those are super important. That's how we're judged. But I think, you know, I'm very proud of the type of program we built, with the type of kids who graduate and do what we're supposed to do. And, you know, we haven't achieved our ultimate goal of getting the NCAA tournament, but we've been close, and hopefully this is the year we break through. You know, we're in a decent position. You know, we've had some opportunities, but the margin of error at our level is razor thin. You know, got to win three games in the conference tournament to get the NCAA tournament. We're a one-bid league, so there's no at-large bid. So you can have a great regular season and stub your toe in the tournament, and unfortunately you can't get in the conference tournament, and unfortunately you can't get the NCAA tournament. So. But we feel like we're starting to, you know, establish ourselves as a consistent program, and you know, hopefully this year is another good year, and we can catch a break in the conference tournament. You know, we can change the perception even more of our program.
Yes, indeed. Now, Coach, last year you guys finished starting to replace the NEC. So what did you and your staff prioritize in the spring, summer, and fall as you get ready for the season about trying to be better, trying to make sure that you guys peak for those 3 days in March to get that automatic bid to the big dance?
Well, we were a young team last year, so we basically had like 90% of our scoring back. So it wasn't a situation where we were integrating a lot of new players. We brought in basically one freshman who sees minutes. So it was more about just getting closer as a team and guys getting better. I think at our level, but at any level of college basketball, but certainly our level of Division I, it's about player development and guys getting better. And if you can do that, if you recruit the right kids and you can do that, you have a chance. The other thing that I think we've done a better job of is recruiting a little more depth. And a few years ago, when we finished in second place, we were on the cusp of really breaking through, and we had a sophomore who was a player of the year. We had a freshman who was on the rookie team, and probably the best young backcourt in the league. And, you know, one of the phenomenons that's happening, certainly at our level, is players transferring up. We lost a player of the year by the name of Kane Broome, who transferred to Cincinnati, who had a very good career there. And then following year, we lost Quincy McKnight, who's actually starting to pick up from Seton Hall right now. So that was something that, you know, we felt like we were on the doorstep of really putting together three or four good years. And when you lose two elite players like that, you kind of have to rethink how you do things and rethink your recruiting. So certainly, I think we've done a much better job. You know, we had a very good non-conference schedule record, and we were 3-1 in the league, and we actually ended up losing our starting point guard, Cam Parker, for the season, who was third in the country in assists at the time. So, but had that happened 3 or 4 years ago, our program, I think it might have spelled basically the end of the year for us. But because we've recruited pretty good depth, we still put ourselves in a position where we're tied for the 2 seed right now, and still been able to win some games and go 4 and 6 with Cam's injury. So I think that's one area where I feel the program's made the most progress, is we've been able to absorb either injuries or departures a little bit better now than we were maybe 3 or 4 years ago when we lost those two guys who were special players.
Oh, yeah. You know, I noticed that too as well, Coach, at your level. Like, if you have a world beater, a guy that can really play, those high to upper mid majors will come calling and kind of pilfer off the good hard work you guys put in development wise and take kind of take some things you kind of thought would be in your program for a while. So I've definitely noticed that trend in college basketball these days. I know it probably drives you guys mad at the level you guys are off these
Well, I think, you know, I think it's it's a reality. It's, you know, it's hard to knock young kids who, you know, who've had a lot of success, want to have, you know, try some different challenge. So, you know, I don't even shy away from it anymore. It's like, hey, come here. We're going to try to develop you and be the best player you can be. And you think that, you know, you stay here 4 years, you're going to have a lot of success and really develop and we can prepare you. But if you feel it's early, you feel like you're ready for a different challenge earlier, you know, we'll support you as well. Like our job and our goal is to help our guys achieve all their goals and dreams. And if that means making a move, you know, certainly we'll support it. And, you know,
fine, thank you.
In terms of creating a little more depth in each position and kind of going with that route. But it's something I think, you know, you don't want to happen, but you have to be prepared for it and embrace it. And if we're getting, you know, guys that are all league players or player of the year every 2 years, that means they're pretty darn good for us if we can transfer to a higher level. So it's kind of like, I kind of equate it to a low major level of one and done or leaving early for the NBA draft. You know, you got to try to plan for it. You hope that you have enough foresight where you can replace them with a very good young player. So it is what it is. I do think it's helped us in recruiting. I think some players think, hey, if I go there and play real well, I can make a move. Again, we're not encouraging that. We prefer that not to happen, but if it helps us get player, a caliber player. Ooh, I lose you, Joe?
Oh, no, you're still here, Coach. Hello? I was making sure. I wish you still here, Coach. Yeah, you're still here. You're still good, man. <I'm sorry. laughs> Yeah, Coach.
So
yeah,
that's kind of where we're at.
You got that right, Coach. You kind of alluded to it, Coach. You guys won 7 games of non-conference. Has to make you really happy because listeners might understand this. In the NEC, you guys have to play guarantee games. You don't get many home games. You got a lot of travel. So to win 7 games, knowing that you kind of a stacked deck against you, non-con season a lot of times, getting 7 wins has to make you you feel really good about your team.
No question, because, you know, we play 3 to 4 guarantee games. And we've been fortunate, we've won a few of them, but we lost a heck of a lot more than we've won. You know, in my 7 years, I think we played about 28, 29, and we're, you know, 2-28. That's 26 games under 500, you know. So it's a little bit on our level because, you know, we have 3 or 4 built-in losses. Where at the high major level, we probably have 6 or 7 built-in wins. And I always tell people, you know, the average fan, to win 20 games at the low major level, is like winning 30 at the high major level. Because, you know, we went 7-6 in our league, but we lost to UConn, Providence, and Texas, Florida. So we were really 7-3 against teams our level. You know what I mean? So, and you know, that's 21-9 over 30 games. You know, so it's one of those things that is a reality of it. And I'm very fortunate. I work for great people at a great institution that understand that. You know, there's you know, you play the guarantee games for companies. Obviously, you want your schedule to be appealing with some big names, but also it's a financial thing. There's money involved. There's a ton of money involved for a program like ours that helps us operate at a level where we can And so, but from a, you know, wins and losses perspective, you know, you got to try to manage that a little bit. And if we can be over 500 in non-league play, that's a really good, that's a win for us. So we were able to do that. And with that, we lost a couple heartbreaking games, too. So we could have been 8-5, 9-4. And, you know, it was a springboard to our league. And now, you know, we're in a good position to get a high seed in our league.
And despite all that, Coach, you guys bounced back really well, 7-4 in conference play, despite last night's loss. So, you know, you guys make you feel good. Like, you know, you guys in the hunt there. You got Mary Mack up top, Robert Morris, who you played on Saturday as well, who you got coming up here real soon for you guys. So it's like you guys have an opportunity to still compete for that NEC regular season title, at least clinch the NIT berth, and hopefully you get that big dance berth in March there.
No question. And with our league, one of the things that our league does that I like a lot is, and a lot of leagues our level do this, but I think it's the best thing to do, is we reward the highest seed with home games. So if you're a top 4 seed, quarterfinals is at your place. If you're the 1 seed, you're playing 3 home games to get to the NCAA tournament. which I like because it rewards the regular season, because obviously getting to the NCAA tournament is the ultimate goal for teams our level. But the regular season has to matter. And by giving our top seed all home games is a major advantage that I think is worth it. For a lot of leagues, our level of height will play on a neutral court. And I'm not a big fan of that because I think the regular season should matter. And obviously you get the regular season championships automatically bid to the NIT, which is tremendous. It's something to fall back on. But I like that, and that's why these regular season games matter so much, because, you know, if you're a one or two seed, there's a high likelihood you're going to, if you're a two seed, you play at least two home games. And if you're a one, you're guaranteed three home games if you win. So that's a major advantage in college basketball. Home court advantage in college basketball is probably the biggest home court advantage in all of sports if you look at win percentage-wise. So when you get a chance to get all home games, it really rewards the team that had the best regular season, which I think is a good thing for teams our level. So we got it. We got seven to go. We got four of them at home, and hopefully we can win our fair share, put ourselves in position to get a high seed and get some home games in the conference tournament.
Well, speaking of home, Coach, you have a young man on your roster from right here home for us, Alex Watson from Atlanta. Talk about what he's meant to your program and what you see him doing for you guys in his next seven games with you, of course, and next year as well.
Yeah, Alex is a junior for us. He's a great kid. He's a great culture kid in terms of his work ethic and the type of person he is. He's been a little up and down in his play, but he's somebody that does all things the right way. Been a good veteran presence for us this year. A lot of young guys, and he's a consummate team guy. Accepts his role. Some games he plays a ton, some games not so much. But you know, guys like Alex are very underappreciated for people outside of the program because they only see stats and minutes and this and that. But when you have guys that accept roles and are team guys and team first guys, you need players like that to succeed. And he's done that. And so I have the utmost respect for Alex and how he handles himself and his professionalism. And he's an A-plus kid, comes from a great, great family. And, you know, if we do the NCAA tournament, he will be a big part of it in a lot of ways. We really appreciate that. We try to make sure that players like Alex understand their value. And I believe that. I think players can have... Obviously, the easiest way to help a team is score a lot of points and produce a lot of stats, but there's a lot of other ways to bring value to a program, and Alex has embraced that, and we're really appreciative of that, and I respect that a ton on him.
You got that right, Coach. You know, young men should set their roles and understand that being a glue guy is important as well, because the guy who does dirty work, who gives energy effort every night, get those loose balls, feels 50 balls that you want to get, you know, caught deflection here or there, can help winning. All that affects winning. If more young men understood, they accept their roles, know that they have a big piece of that, of one small piece of the pie, a lot of teams would be so much more cohesive and better if young men understood that the way you and I do, Coach.
Oh, there's no question. And that's one of the things I try to do, and I don't know if I always succeed, but I always try to tell guys, like Alex or players with that role, is, hey, you know, really praise when they do those things, is really make sure that the rest of the team understands that, because the reality is, too, is you're always, no matter what, after your career is over as a player, you're always going to be part of some team, whether it's, you know, your job and you work with production and things like that. And the guys that can accept roles and be the best at their role, they're going to be much more valuable to whatever company or organization they work for. And people like that, they'll always have a job, you know what I mean? Because everybody wants to be the star, everybody wants to be the best player, but there's only a few of those people. But everybody needs people that are going to accept things, and for, you know, a show like yours to run and all those things, and for a team to be successful, a company to be successful. So I really try to emphasize that to our guys. It's like, hey, if you can figure out how to be a good team member, man, you will always be someone that people want. It'll always be valuable to your next step, whether it's a work, whether it's even part of a family, and really doing that kind of thing. So, you know, it's great to see him do that, and I think it's coach's job to make sure that kids understand that and value that, because, you know, we live in a time where everybody wants instant gratification. Everybody wants to, not how the world works. You know, and the more you can, obviously you always want to, you want to improve your situation and your role, but in the meantime, be the best at your role that you can be. And that's how you will improve your role. It'd be the best. I always tell, you know, we have managers, student managers all the time, and want to get into coaching. I said, hey, the best way for you to get into coaching, be the best manager you can be. Don't try to be a coach. Be the best manager you can be. Kill, crush that job. And then when it's time for you to move on to coaching and someone asks me this last thing, I'm like, this guy will do anything to help this program. And then you take on more responsibility and go with that. So really try to emphasize that. And I think that sometimes that gets lost in what we're doing here, how we're trying to prepare these guys for life after basketball, because these are my guys become pros. I mean, heck, you graduated at 22, 23 years old. You're a 10-year pro. You're 33 when you're done. I was. 33 is a year. Man, 33, you got a lot. You got a lot of living to do. So you got to figure out for the next, hopefully, 40 or 50 years, how you're going to be a productive human being. And how you're going to, you know, what is your purpose and what's your role? So you try to do that. That gets lost a lot in what we do because there's so much money at stake and we judge by wins and losses. But, you know, I hope our players understand that. And I hope I communicate that to them well. And hopefully we prepare these guys for more than just winning a game here and there.
Well, Coach, that motivational word you just gave our listeners, it's very great, Coach. I think I hope a lot of people in here in Atlanta hear that and understand that and hope they will take those words you just gave to heart and use them in their lives as well, Coach. And, Coach, I thank you for your time. I know it's snowing up in Connecticut today. You still came on show today. Hope to talk to you again real soon, Coach. I enjoyed the conversation. We got to do this again real soon, Coach. I really enjoyed this.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me. Have a great day.
You too, Coach. Thank you.
Bye now.
It's Anthony Latino on the Boss Man Show. All right, folks, back here on the Boss Man Show here. Brian Kennedy, coach of the NJIT Highlanders out of Newark, New Jersey. Coach, how are things with you guys, man?
Things are going well, JR. Appreciate you having me on the show and look forward to speaking to you.
Yes, indeed. Well, Coach, you're now in the middle of year four leading the Highlanders as the head man. So talk to us about this, Coach. What has been your greatest accomplishments for you and your program since you took over as the head man of the NJIT?
You know, we're coming off a year last year where we had 22 wins, the most in most wins in school history, and making it to the CIT semifinals again. And you know, coming off a really strong year, we graduated a couple players that have gone on to do some great things, and Abdul Lewis and Muhammad Bentari and DeAndre Wilson, Don Greer. All graduated last year and are doing really well in after basketball life as we speak. So, you know, after graduating, you know, a senior laden group, we have we do have some experience back, but the core of our team is still a very young team in 9 freshmen and sophomores.
And I know that makes you kind of excited as a coach, because you know that player development piece that you do when the spring, the summer, and early fall before things get going in November is very, very key. So what did you guys really focus on with your young men about getting them ready to take on a bigger role this year, losing those at leadership you guys lost last year?
Yeah, you know, our backcourt has a lot of experience and a lot of playing time under the belt in Zach Cooks and Shaquan Gibbs. You know, front court did not have that much. It's a great opportunity for the kids. They see the opportunity to play in front of them and to push them to work. But you know, the biggest thing is developing them as young men on and off the court. When you come into as a freshman into any collegiate situation, there's a lot of off the court basketball stuff that people don't even you know, get to see, the socialization, the academics, the amount of time that you put in to help the school and the program with community service, you know, doing different promotional things, all away from the court, you know. And then you get on the court, you got the weightlifting, which I think is one of the biggest things these days is the strength and size of the players in the game right now. So, you know, freshmen come in and they're still in their infancy as far as their
development of their body, getting them ready for college play. So hitting the weight room and then all of a sudden having coaches, you know, really coaching them on top of them, trying to get them to get better with their individual skills and also within the team concept of understanding what your team's trying to accomplish on the court and the game plan and so forth, travel and everything. It's a lot for freshmen. So if you look across the board, very few freshmen succeed at a high, high level initially. It usually takes a year or two to get under the belt and get wet behind the ears, so to speak, and get used to the formation of collegiate basketball.
You got that right, Coach. And I know coming off last year's 22-win season that, you know, when you guys make recruiting calls now or you want to talk to a young man, it's like, oh, NJIT 22 wins last year. So I'm pretty sure that guy has helped you guys in recruiting. Now you have a young roster, of course, but if you wanted to add some depth or go for class balance, you can now. We're having options now, having had that good, great year you had last year.
No doubt. It definitely helps. We've built a new $110 million facility here called our Wellness and Education Center. Which also helps give us state-of-the-art facilities, you know, as top of the line to be able to attract kids and having success on the court. But the backbone of everything we do here at NJIT is our academics. You know, it's a top 100 world university. You know, it's one of the premier academic institutions in the world, with engineering, science, technology, engineering, and math being our focus, which the STEM environment right now creates a lot of job opportunities for the kids out there. So it's academics. A great president in Dr. Joel Bloom and a great athletic director and Lenny Kaplan that understand that it's definitely student first before athlete, and you know, that's the most important thing. I get more phone calls and more emails if our kids are doing well or not doing well in the classroom than I do about on the court. So it's you know, it's academics first here at NJIT.
You got that right, Coach. And also, Coach, I feel like that your young men is pretty bounced back pretty well from the tough non-con, because I know you probably want to have more wins, but when you got a young team, guys taking on new roles, new opportunity, when you're playing those high-major schools and when you have to play those guarantee games, raise money for the university as well, and it can be tough. So I feel like you can't really look at that record, per se, because you have so many factors and layers to go into that record that people can't really judge you on that.
Yeah, it's very difficult, JR, especially with the young team. You know, the most important thing is conference play, and to see our guys bounce back and be competing in conference play is what it's all about. And we're lucky we have two fantastic players out of Georgia, and Zach Cooks right outside of the Atlanta area, and then San Antonio Princeton from Augusta, Georgia. Both players have really stepped up to help our younger group and have really helped lead the way in our conference. You mentioned the North Florida game down at North Florida. San Antonio had one, you know, just a fantastic college game with 37 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists. You know, those are numbers that, very few put up during the course of their career. And Zach Cooks has just been a dynamo for us the last 2 years. One of the best small guards and one of the best mid-major guards in the country, one of the better small guards across the board in the country. So, you know, Georgia, the state of Georgia has been great to NJIT, and, we certainly appreciate everything that Zach and San Antonio brought to the program.
You got that right, Coach. It's an easy end for you guys with Kennesaw State being right in your conference. Also, Lipscomb, which is right up the road as well. If you want to talk about Stetson, North Florida, and Gulf Coast, like, you have a lot of schools down this way. This is Jacksonville as well, which is right in that heart of Georgia region that you can kind of tap into because of your location. Come on down here and find players that way. And North Alabama as well is pretty much seven schools in the South. And you guys, the outlier, but you come down here and find great talent that can help you, like San Antonio and Zach did that night in North Florida, done for you all year long.
Yes, yeah, it's the Atlantic Sun. Joining the Atlantic Sun has really opened up some doors that probably wouldn't have been available to us. you know, with the exposure down in the South, people know down south that the A-Sun, you know, was a terrific conference. You know, last year I think was the height of the new A-Sun conference, so to speak, with Liberty coming in and beating Mississippi State in the first round of the NCAA tournament and taking Virginia Tech to the wire in the second round. You had Lipscomb University going all the way to the finals and losing to University of Texas in the NIT. And then you had ourselves winning 20, you know, a school record 22 games last year, you know, including, you know, two bye game wins, which are, you know, always a feather in the cap. But the, you know, from top to bottom, Florida Gulf Coast, Dunk City, you know, Jacksonville University, Kennesaw, you know, it's, Lipscomb, you know, North Alabama joining the conference, Liberty. It's a really solid mid-major basketball, you know, basketball conference. North Florida's had great success under Matt Driscoll. You know, we're adding Bellarmine, which is a top, you know, perennial top five Division II team to next year's group. So just conference keeps getting better and better.
You got that right, Coach. And you got Jacksonville. Tony does a good job there, Coach. You know that, being against the guy. Talk about your own film from Jacksonville as you get ready to play those guys here tomorrow.
Yeah, Jacksonville's a great matchup for us. Tony and I, it seems like every game comes down to the wire in our past meetings. Down there this year, we didn't it wasn't as close to the game. I don't feel as a coach my team played that great down there. You know, David, the emergence of David Bell as a big man in our league is as I think is the forefront of Jacksonville's success. You know, we have to do a good job of stopping David Bell and the other players. Barnes had a really good game against us, had 25 points. So we have to really lock in defensively. We didn't shoot the ball that well down there, but you know, it always starts with us with defense and rebounding. You know, we have to do a good job of stopping Bell and Barnes, who, you know, had 43 of their 68 points. So 63% of the points came from those two guys. We have to do a much better job on those two players from Jacksonville as we head into tomorrow's game.
Coach, that's what I got for you, Coach. So who have been some coaches and really helped you in your career as a head coach and who you kind of lean on for counsel, friends of the business, who you know you can trust? If you need some, they have your back.
In this business, you meet a lot of people and a lot of friends. My mentor who has really helped me, I have a couple, but Coach Bob Hurley from St. Anthony's High School in Jersey City has been a great mentor to myself and help him prepare me and get me ready to be a head coach. I have my uncle Patrick, who was the head coach at Iona, Florida State. DePaul University is a great sounding board for me, as well as my two college coaches and Pete Carrill and Wayne Zilk. You know, I was blessed to have my high school coach come down to our Florida Gulf Coast game, Ed Wisolinski, and Vinny Cox, who are both New Jersey Hall of Fame high school coaches. So, I know I just gave you a bunch of names, but, Coach Hurley certainly has been one that, has really helped, has really helped me, push me along in my career.
Well, hey, that's a great name to got to have in your corner there, Coach Kennedy. Well, Coach, thank you for your time today. I appreciate it so much. Best of luck to you tomorrow in Jacksonville. And Coach Jessica over there against the Dolphins. We'll talk to you again real soon, Coach.
I appreciate it, JR, and thank you for all your coverage of the A-Sun. Every year it's getting a little more, people open up their eyes and seeing players like Garrison Matthews out there for the Washington Wizards and the guard from Florida Gulf Coast who had a great fourth quarter the other day for the Atlantic Hawks and Dallas Moore, who's over in Europe doing great things Tim Coleman from NJIT, who won the MVP of the Luxembourg League last year. There's some really, really solid players out there in the A-Sun. So appreciate everything you do, JR.
Anytime, Coach Kennedy. Have a great one. Talk to you real soon, man.
All right, now. Be good.
All right, it's Brian Kennedy on the Boss Man Show.